We've been looking at the Gospels. I didn't make an outline today because what we're going to do today, there's no way I could figure out how to outline it, so I didn't do it. But we're going to look at the Gospels. And what we're doing, when we look at the, Matthew, Mark, and sometimes John, a lot of times we neglect the first three of those because there's not a lot of material there for the Christian life. And I spend most of my time on the Christian life. But there is a lot of material there that is misused. And I was thinking about that this week. You have Matthew, who was original apostle and was at Acts 2 and received the Holy Spirit. He wrote the book of Matthew after, 20 years after Pentecost, so he had understanding of New Testament truth. Now the next three, Mark was a companion and went around on the missionary journeys of Paul and was extremely familiar with the Pauline doctrine that was taught and was very close to Peter. Then Luke, who is the physician, the only Gentile of the bunch, Luke writes a gospel, and Luke is a companion of Paul. Here's the point. The gospels are not different from what Paul teaches. They're not contradictory to what Paul teaches. If you're going to get Christian life out of the gospels, you have to neglect Paul. They're in complete harmony. What I'm saying is the people who wrote the Gospels knew what Paul was teaching. The Gospels were all written while Paul was still alive, and they were still in harmony. Get it? So the Gospels do not contradict Paul's teaching. They're for a different time. Now I'm going to say something else, and then we'll look to the Lord in opening prayer. No thing in Jesus' earthly ministry contributes to our salvation except it proves, until the cross, it proves he's the perfect sacrifice. But we don't want to neglect his earthly ministry because it's there and because it's so misused. So we've been trying to go back through the gospel, show you some pertinent points, and today we're going to look at the miracle. Of the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, which I take to probably get up to around 10,000. And it's the only miracle that's in all four Gospels. So it must be important. So let's go to that, Father, in communication. Our Father, we do thank you that we can look into your word, and we ask as we look there that we see those things that can pique our interest so that we can learn more about who and what you are, and we thank you for that. Amen. Before I start, I gotta always remind you of two things when we look at the Gospels. One is that the kingdom of God has the idea of salvation, generally, and the kingdom from the heavens has to do with the heavens rule over the affairs of men through angels. Those two kingdoms are completely different spheres of authority, but they do overlap. When the manifest kingdom, i.e. the millennium or thousand-year reign of Christ, begins, those two kingdoms will completely overlap. After the first generation, the kingdom of the heavens will get larger. So when, this is important, during Jesus' earthly ministry, you had to believe two things. What he was doing was offering two kingdoms. He was offering the kingdom from the heavens to be the king over the nation Israel. He was also offering the kingdom of God, which was to be part of the family of God. Now, it works out in the future, those two are the same. During his earthly ministry, if you believe Christ was deity, you automatically believe that he could be king. If you believed, and which we're going to see today, that you wanted him to be king, but couldn't believe that he was deity, just thought he was a prophet, you really, in a sense, were not completely believing in the, or changing your mind concerning the kingdom of God, if you or the kingdom of the heavens. So my point is, if you believe the king in Christ's deity, you believe in both kingdoms. If you just wanted the kingdom from the heavens to come in for there to be a rule from heaven, then you had little, what's called little faith, and you didn't believe and were not saved. The second thing, and this is a review, this is primarily, when we look at Matthew, we're going to look at all four of them today. When you look at Matthew, Matthew is emphasizing the kingdom of the heaven and emphasizing Jesus as king. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't show him as servant. He doesn't have much of him as a servant. That's a T. But he does show him as a man and God. Now, when you get to Mark, Mark is going to emphasize his Jesus as servant. But he's all, this is in your Scofield Bible, I pointed that out to you. But it's also, he's going to show him as God. Now Luke is going to, and we spent a lot of time in Luke so far, Luke is mainly going to emphasize Jesus' humanity. And John emphasizes mainly his deity. Now that doesn't mean that the other three things aren't emphasized, but we're going to see that today. Now we're going to look today at the feeding of the 5,000 men, plus women's and children. So if you'll turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter, we got to set the context here, because this is going to come up when we get over to the book of Mark. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, you have that he appoints the 12 disciples. He calls them then apostles later in chapter 10. In the first two, verse 1, he calls them disciples, and then he calls them the apostles. And you know that includes the traitor, Judas. And in verse 5, he says, "Go not to the Gentiles." So at this point, when he's offering the kingdom from the heavens, it was never offered to the Gentiles. That's not going to be true when we get to the 13th chapter. Things change. Okay, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. And it's the kingdom from the heavens, verse 7. Now that brings us over into the context. We want to go over to the 14th chapter. Now the reason I put these two together is because when we come to Luke, because Luke puts things in order and not just by topic, Luke is going to have the sending out and they're coming back and the feeding of the 5,000 right close in time. So we're following Luke's chronology. If you go over to the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, you recall this is after Jesus has changed his ministry, or is in the process of changing his ministry. That would probably be more accurate. We're over in Matthew 14, and I want to look at verse 15. I got the wrong. Matthew 14, 15. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past, and the multitude away, that they send the multitude away, that they may go to the villages and buy themselves victuals.'" I love that translation. That's an old Southern word. "And Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart, give them to eat.' And they said unto Jesus, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, 'Bring them here to me.' And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed and broke, tore the loaves apart, and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments, and there were 12 baskets of the barley bread." We'll find out it's barley later on. "And when they had eaten, about 5,000 men besides the women and children." Now I'm going to guess most of the men had at least one other family member with them, so round figures, probably 10,000. In this, you have no setting in the book of Matthew of why this miracle occurs. Now, remember, we've already studied in the book of Luke, miracles did not turn people to Jesus. And in fact, they do the opposite in some cases. We're going to see, as we put all four Gospels together, that each of the four Gospels are going to have a different, they're complementary, but have four different reasons that this miracle occurs. We'll come back to Matthew and show you in Matthew why this miracle occurs. But first, let's go over to the... So here they sit down, and we're going to see some more interesting things here over in the book of Mark. If you turn to the book of Mark, Mark's going to add to it. Now, this, keep in mind, this is the only miracle that occurs in all four Gospels. So it's got to be important. And all four Gospels are going to give us an indication of why Jesus does this miracle. What I'm trying to show you is that he didn't just do miracles. There was a reason for it. And he's going to flush out some things here in his miracle. So over in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done. Now here's the picture. Remember over in Matthew, he sends them out and he tells them to do all this stuff. By the way, he told them to cast out spirits, to heal, and to sick people, and Judas was included in that. So it's not salvation. And they come back, and in verse 31, we're going to get one of the clues as to why he does the miracle. And in verse 31, Jesus said unto the 12, come yourself apart unto a desert place and rest a while. So apparently when they went out, it tired them out. And apparently they needed to be encouraged. So one of the things we pick up over in Mark is that Jesus does this miracle. One of the reasons is to encourage them. We'll see that later on. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So they were tired. It's like they just got beat by Stanford, and they were licking their never mind. Okay, verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. We're going to find out that's on the Sea of Galilee in a little cove called, we'll have that named over in one of the other Gospels. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot there out of all cities, and out went them, and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw the people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now there's a clue there. He's going to teach them. Now let's keep in our back of our mind, is that teaching going to stick? Good luck. Okay. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place and there's no subway for them to get their food, their victuals, as we saw earlier. Verse 36, send them away, this is the apostles telling him, that they may go to a country round about and unto the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And Jesus answered and said unto them, give them to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? That wouldn't be enough, obviously. Now, just as an aside, you know who had the money? Who was the treasurer of the 12 apostles? First 12. Judas. Judas. No offense. Judas. That meaning they really trusted him. That's where you put the people you trust. Verse 38. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go see. And when they knew, they said they have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down. Now we're going to get some more information. He didn't just tell them to sit down. Actually, the word here is recline, kind of like in a Roman way, on grass, and sit down in companies upon the green grass. Now, we're going to find out later he's going to divide them into 50s, groups of 50. He's really doing an organ. What is he demonstrating doing this? That he's in charge. And they sat him down here, we saw, in ranks of 150. So he had groups so that they could be the food could be distributed. And when they had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before them. And the two fish divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Plato. And they looked up, and he took up 12 baskets full of fragments. Now that's the same as we saw in Matthew, of the fish, and they did eat of the loaves about 5,000 men. Now we got a little more insight here as to why one of the reasons Jesus performed this miracle. He wanted two reasons we got so far. He wanted to encourage his disciples. We're going to see that when I come back and do some, after we do all four of them. And he wanted to provoke the concept on his terms of what the kingdom would be, that he's the one that's going to do the groups, group here, group there, and he's setting up that who was going to be in charge of the kingdom. We're going to come back here and draw some conclusions, but if you turn over to Luke 9, Luke the 9th chapter, and the first two verses, you start to get some more information. And he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now you're going to start getting a clue of why he's famous. We're going to see that in a minute. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and it'd be in mystery form, and to heal the sick. And they go out, verse 6, healing everywhere. Now we know, then you have an interlude of Herod. But we know when they return down in verse 10 that they're tired, that he tells them to rest. Remember that? We got that from Mark. Verse 10, chapter 9, Luke. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethesda. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And they received, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God. Now we know what he taught them. He was teaching the kingdom of God. That's why Matthew doesn't spend a lot of time on this miracle, because it's primarily the kingdom of God. And he healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place and there's no Burger King. And he said unto them, give them to eat. And he said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except that we should go and buy meat for all the people. And there were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. So now we know that he had them in 50s, and we saw hundreds earlier. And they did so and made them all sit. And by the way, probably the greatest time that you can get large groups to obey is when you have food I've experienced this in large groups that have 500 parents, and they it's just like 500 kids. And you say if you line up, you can get the food. Boom, you'd be surprised how quick they can line up. Okay, verse 16. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up into the heaven, blessed the loaves and broke them and gave them to the disciples set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled, and they were taken up in fragments, the remaining of the 12 baskets. Now we're going to draw some conclusions from Luke when we come back here, but let's go to John, because we're going to put it all together. So if we go over to John the 6th chapter, in John the 6th chapter, you have a record that brings a little different light, or more light, in to what actually happened here. Now we're going to narrow down where it is in Bethesda. It's on the Sea of Galilee. Now what we're going to see in John is that John is going to show that Jesus is deity, and will they accept his deity? Now, we'll see that they see him as a prophet. Okay, verse 1, chapter 6. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. That's a little cove, or like a bay, that's off of the main sea. And a great multitude followed him because they saw... Now, watch, this is a key verse. They saw... Now, this is the word for sign miracle. Which he did on them that were diseased. Now, did they follow him because he was deity? Did they follow him because they wanted him to be king at this point? No, they followed him because this guy could actually heal people. And that was quite a monumental thing in that those days with a very primitive medicine. Now, the word here we pick up for the first time for miracle is the word sign. In the book of John, every time you see the word miracle, there's three kinds of miracles. There's wonders, powers, and signs. In the book of John, every time you see the word miracle, it's the word for sign miracle, meaning that the miracle is not in and of itself. It points to something else. Just like when you have on Twilliker curves coming here, it says 50 miles an hour. No, it says 40 miles an hour on this curve, which in my math means 55 is good. But it's a sign telling me there's a curve. And this is what this miracle, so this sign, this miracle is not in and of itself. It's pointing to something. That's what a sign miracle does. Verse 3. And Jesus went into a mountain, there he sat with the disciples. And the Passover, here we got another thing coming in. The Passover is about ready to come, so these people should be home taking care of getting all their victuals, as it says, or their food together, because during the Passover you couldn't do it. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that we may eat? And this is a nuance that we don't have in the others. So he's going to use it to see if Philip really understands who he is. Now, let me just say this. I'm not being condemning the apostles here to Israel prior to Acts 2. But they really, even the ones that believed that Jesus was deity, did not understand what that meant. They couldn't. Why? They didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them until Acts 2. So they if I was there, I wouldn't have done any better. But they didn't fully get. Even when Peter says you're the Son of God, in the next few verses, if you read Matthew 16, in the next few verses, he doubts that what Jesus says is true. It's obvious that it didn't click to him what that really meant. So here, Jesus is going to show that Philip as a kind of a sample of these 12. Verse 7. And Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for this crowd. And every one of them might take a little. They couldn't even get a crumb, hardly. And one of the, I forgot verse 6. And this Jesus said to test or to prove. He was actually flushing him out, for he himself knew what Philip would do. Now in verse 8. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith to Jesus, there's a lad here. Oh, now we know where the fish and the bread came from. There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves. Let me stop there. Now we know that the people that are out there are the poor. How do I know? None of them had any food. And barley is the least of the grains in the Orient at this time. Wheat would be something that a publican would eat, maybe the tax collector. But this shows the lower echelons of income here. There, verse 9, and there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And what are they among many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down, obviously, and their family. Now there was so much grass in the place, so the men sat down. Again, if I recall right, this is the word for recline. In the number of 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples distributed to the crowd, and they were that was sat down. And likewise the fish were much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. Now here we find out why they gathered up the 12 baskets of fragments, that nothing be lost. Now that there's some signs there. Verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over above them that had eaten. And then the men, when they had seen the sign miracle that Jesus did, said, this is the truth. That prophet that should come into the world. So they saw the sign, just like I gave you my example. I saw the sign, Twilliker curves 45 miles an hour. Did I go 45? No, I went 60. They saw the sign, they went, that said 45, and they went 35. You get, if you follow what I'm saying. So they did not understand what they saw. They did not understand that he was a prophet, but that wasn't what he was showing here. He was showing that he was deity and that he could create. Now, let's do it here. If you skip down to 22, in John, the 6th chapter, Jesus is going to interpret to some extent what happened at this sign miracle. And the day following, verse 22, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save one wherein the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with the disciples unto the boat, but that the disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit that there came other boats from Tiberias near unto the place where they did eat bread. After that the Lord given thanks. And the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples. And they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, to seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, teacher, when did you come here? Rabbi has to do with, teacher. And verse 26, and Jesus answered them and said, truly, now get this, truly I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They sought him for the wrong reasons. Now, if you go back into the context, right at the end of the miracle on verse 14, if you come to verse 15, this is a very important key verse. Now, what I'm saying is, by doing the miracle, he's going to flush out some of the attitudes of the Jewish people here. And it's not good. Verse 15, when Jesus therefore experientially knew in the realm of his deity that they were fixing to come and take him by force, that they should read this way, that they should make him king, he departed again unto the mountain. Now, who was going to make him king? In God the Father's plan, God the Father was, not the nation Israel. So this miracle was so enthralling to them because they saw it on a physical plane and not on a spiritual plane. They didn't see who was really doing it. But let's put it this way. This was kind of like a $4 trillion bill that gives you everything you want and you don't have to work. If they had Jesus, we're talking about people that are hungry on a regular basis, spend most of their life just trying to get enough to eat, who actually have one meal a day. And here they get to eat all they want? Well, hey, let's make him king. Did Jesus want them to make him king? No. We'll get back to that in just a minute. But down in verse 26, Jesus interprets their motives as being wrong. Now, let's go back to Matthew. Matthew has this, but he has it a little bit in different order. If you go back to Matthew, the 11th chapter, which I've told you before is a pivotal verse, and the 12th verse, and the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom from the heavens suffers violence. And the violent, that would be the people who want to take him and make him king, the violent take it by force. Now that is it. Yeah, take it by force is the same word for that we use for rapture over in 1 Thessalonians 4. It means to grab, like a Jesus is going. Christ, when he comes back, is going to have to grab the church out of Satan's domain. So he's going to grab it, and the picture he's going to grab the church out of Satan's domain, like a robber grabs his loot out of a house. Here's the picture: they wanted to take Jesus by force and set him up as king. Now Jesus knows that this is wrong, and he tells them that down in the 7th verse, saying, "We have, if they did it." Well, let's read. Let's read. Let's keep reading verse 13. For all the prophets and all the law prophesied till John, and assuming for the sake of argument that you desire to welcome that kingdom from the heavens, then this is Elijah, which is about to come. But he hath ears to hear, let him hear. Obviously they're not. But whereto one shall I liken this race? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling to their fellows and saying, now this is why he could not allow them to put him up by force. We have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. Now the picture here is that if Jesus allows them to force him, put him up by king by force, then they'll be like the mandolin master with pulling the strings and making the puppet. And he would be the puppet. No, that's not what it's supposed to be. When he did the miracle, what did he do? You sit there, you 50, you sit here, you 100, you sit here, you sit here. He was in charge. He didn't do the miracle where they said, we'll sit here and then you can minister to us. Do you see the difference? So he's establishing that he's in charge. They want to be in charge because if they put him up by force, they're the ones calling the strings. If you don't believe it, have you ever heard of K Street? K Street is the people that finance all the politicians, and basically the politicians' ears listen to what they have to say. It's called special interest. Okay, here's why we in Matthew, then this miracle was a way to demonstrate that the people were following Jesus for the wrong reasons. The people wanted to be fed, and the people were not sincerely, in a legitimate way, believing that he was deity, and that if he was deity, if they just believed his deity, the kingdom would be put up by God himself. Now, okay, so let's go over to Mark and see what conclusions that Mark has about this over in Mark the 6th chapter. Why was, from Mark's point of view, I already pointed out in Mark the 6th chapter, because of the rest in verse 31, that one of the reasons, now there's not just one reason for this miracle, these set of miracles really, the one of the reasons is that he wanted to encourage his disciples who came back tarred, and he also wanted to provoke the concept of that the kingdom had to be on his terms. Now, I should mention, record of this miracle, Matthew is going to emphasize the kingdom from the heavens, and these three are emphasizing the kingdom of God. So these three are going to emphasize whether they believed in his deity, and Matthew is emphasizing that they believed that he was the true Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Okay, now if you go over in Mark, the sixth chapter, there's a thing where Jesus walks by the sea, and even the disciples didn't get what, and we got a verse here that says even the disciples didn't understand what the sign miracle was about. I'm going to read 45, verse 45, so you understand what 52 means. And straightway, I'm in Mark 6, 45, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethesda, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening had come, the ship was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. So he wasn't, his plan A was not to stop. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked to them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And he went with them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Now, this is another miracle that proves that he's the creator. But watch what the commentary of Mark is as we go. And they were extremely amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Verse 52, here's the commentary. And they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You see, if they had understood fully the miracle of the loaves, they should have known that they weren't going to perish on that ship. They should have known. Here he is walking on water. No, they should have trusted. But remember, before we get too uppity with these guys, they didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit, so they couldn't do it. So that's the commentary of Mark. Turn over to Luke. Let's get the commentary in Luke real quick. The ninth chapter. Luke, the ninth chapter, and we want to look down at the 22nd verse. We'll go quickly here. Okay, after the feeding of the loaves, remember Luke is the chronological one. So the feeding of the loaves, right after that, or of the 5,000, in chapter 9 to verse 17, then right after that comes Peter, and signifying he understands on one level who Jesus is. And then in verse 22, right after the feeding of the 5,000 men and families, you have a commentary by Jesus of what this is a sign of. And verse 22, and saying, "The Son of Man," talking about himself in third person, "must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and raised up the third day." Now, we know from this passage, if we go back in Matthew and get the parallel passage, that Peter says, right after he'd said that he was the Son of God, he said, "No, this can't be, don't do it." So several things here. So one of the things that the miracle proves, it proves that they're not going to accept Jesus' offer of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the heavens on his terms. whose terms did they want that kingdom of? They didn't want the kingdom of God. But whose terms did they want the kingdom of from the heaven on? On theirs. But Jesus says, since you won't accept it on my terms, I'm going to have to die. This is where he changes his ministry. So one of the many things we learn from this miracle is it was a sign that was rejected by the nation, signified by this large group, and it is used as a key to change his ministry. Now he's going to have to die. Now, let's turn over to John 6. We left out one verse there, I think, that we can show. John 6, I don't know if I forgot whether we did that. Okay, in John 6, remember verse 15, they want to take it by force, but if you go down into the context to verse 22, the following day when the people stood on the other side of the sea and saw that there was no other but there, save the one wherein the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but the disciples were gone away alone, howbeit they came the boats unto Tiberias, near unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, and neither his disciples, they took shipping, several ships apparently, and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, did I read this before? This is, oh, okay. When you study something several times, okay. This is very similar to a previous passage. Now, here's the crux of it, verse 26. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So they were taking what was a sign of spiritual kingdom from the heavens, kingdom of God. And what did they do? They made it physical. So the reason that crowds came, and you have this in Mark. Let's do that again. In Mark you have, I think it's on the left-hand side of the page there, back in Mark 6, you have that they came to be healed, and then they came the second time to get fed. But what was Jesus doing after he drew the crowd? He was teaching. But apparently, none of the teaching stuck. You see? So this miracle was designed to flush out in demonstrative form the rejection of the nation Israel of Jesus' offer of the kingdom from the heavens and the kingdom of God on his terms. They wanted it on their terms. And because they wanted it on their terms, and what does he say? Seeing you see not, hearing you hear not. Then he is going to have to change his ministry. You have also the fact that, and this is one way to understand the book of John, you have also that almost every time Jesus is giving spiritual truth, demonstrating it with metaphor or symbols, that the nation Israel always takes it physically. There's a couple times where he's talking about physical stuff and they take it spiritually. So they always get it wrong. Now, before we get too anti-Semitic here, if we were there, we would have done the same thing because we wouldn't have either had the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, here's the point I'm making. The Gospels all harmonize. There's no conflict in Scripture. But when we start looking at miracles in the Gospels, and we've looked at miracles in the book of Luke, miracles were not designed to get converts. There are other reasons for the miracles. There's seven different reasons in the book of John of the sign miracles. Here it was to show that they wanted it on their terms, not on his terms. It was also to encourage the disciples, to give them some rest. And even they, as indicated by Philip, didn't have a full cognate idea of who and what they were dealing with. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you did send your son, and we thank you, your son is a sign of obedience to you, and that we should follow him. We thank you for that. Amen.